The submarine was gone. DEA agent Ivy McGill stood in the jungle with her team, listening to the whop, whop, whop of helicopter rotors as they beat the air nearby. They'd gotten the satellite imagery a few hours ago, and they'd busted ass to get out here in order to confiscate the sub and capture the workers. She hadn't kidded herself that the drug lords who'd commissioned the damn thing would be here, but she'd hoped to at least get a worker who would talk. All she needed was one. But there were no workers either. There were only bodies and the smell of burning rubber and spent gunpowder. The jungle had been turned into a shipyard, amazingly, with living quarters for 50 or 60 men and workshops to build submarines. There were generators, gas stoves for cooking, and storage racks for marine parts. There was also a narrow estuary where presumably subs would be piloted out of the jungle and into the river beyond. From there, the subs would be taken to a port and loaded with cocaine before making the journey north to the United States.
"Middle of the fucking jungle,"
Ace Martin said, coming up beside her.
"How'd they build a fucking submarine in the middle of a jungle?"
"With a lot of money,"
Ivy told her partner, her gaze poring over the abandoned shipyard. Their information indicated there was only one submarine at the moment, with more commissioned to be built, but it represented a step up in design from the usual homemade fiberglass subs the drug runners used. The new sub was steel, fitted with Chinese engines, powered by lead-acid batteries, and capable of traveling for 10 days without refueling. It could submerge to a depth that rendered it silent to the U.S. Navy, and it could hold 3 tons of cocaine. That was a lot of fucking cocaine hitting the streets of the United States. A Colombian soldier shouted something and Ivy took off at a run. Ace was right behind her. They skidded into one of the workshops to find a soldier pointing a gun at a grease-stained man who held his hands high and begged the soldier not to shoot.
"Are there others?"
Ivy asked the soldier in Spanish.
"No," he told her. "Just this one."
She spoke to the man, told him not to fear them. But his eyes were wide as he darted his gaze between her, Ace, and the soldier. Outside, the shouts of other soldiers and DEA agents carried through the jungle.
"What happened here?" she asked the man.
All he did was repeat his plea not to shoot. Ivy wanted to growl in frustration, but instead she went over and handcuffed him. Then she told the soldier to lower the gun. He did, and she jerked her head at Ace.
"Get this one on the chopper. I want to talk to him when we get back to HQ.
"Aye, aye, Captain,"
Ivy frowned.
"Very funny with the nautical stuff."
Ace grinned and walked over to collect the worker. Ivy marched back into the jungle. The humidity was thick out here, and the stench from the nearby mangroves was strong. Men moved through the shipyard, searching for any signs of life. Unfortunately, there was no one else alive. Whatever had happened out here, it hadn't been pretty. It wasn't unlike the Ruiz family to turn against the people who had helped put them where they were, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to kill everyone. These were the workers who'd built the sub. They were skilled men, recruited from the shipyards and navies of South and Central American countries. It took a lot of time and money to assemble this kind of crew. It made no sense to kill them, especially since getting the men out would have been far easier than getting the sub out. Hell, the way the thing was built, you could fill it with men and sail away. So why the slaughter? Ivy shuddered as she raised her gaze to the sky. That was what she didn't understand about these bastards. What she could never understand. They killed when they didn't have to. Because they could. Ivy took one last look around before she headed for the chopper. She had work to do, and time was running out.
"You want to do what?"
Dane Viking Erickson stared at the two men standing across from him. He'd been training with his men at the Virginia Beach facility when he'd been summoned to this meeting. He hadn't thought much of it at the time, but right now he was staring at an admiral in white and an army colonel in desert camouflage and wondering what they'd been smoking. The colonel, Mendez was his name, was the one to speak.
"I need a SEAL team, Lieutenant. Your name came up as the one to lead it.